Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Partiality is a sin that's opposite of what Jesus Christ and Christianity stands for. It just doesn't fit.
That was Pastor Joe Henson, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our study of the book of James, Pastor Joe will highlight the fourth mark of a difference maker, impartial love, in a message called Taming the Sin of Partiality.
Let me invite you to open up your Bibles with me, if you would, please, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Our pastor, as you know, has been sharing with us from the book of James, his epistle, his thoughts from God to people who lived in his time. James chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 as we go here. It was 7:51 a.m. on Friday, January 12th, 2007. A young white man entered a Washington, D.C. subway station carrying a small violin case. He stood against the wall next to the trash can, and he wasn't dressed very well, just wearing blue jeans, a long-sleeved t-shirt, tennis shoes, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. It was the middle of the morning rush hour. From his case, he removed a violin, placed the case at his feet, threw in a few dollars, some pocket change as seed money, turned it around to face the crowd in front of him. He then turned to face the pedestrian traffic, and he began to play. For the next 43 minutes, he performed six classical pieces, and no fewer than 1,097 people walked past him, most of them on their way to work. Now the question is, what do you think those people would do? What would you have done? These people didn't know this was a setup. Gene Weingarten of the Washington Post set up an experiment. He wanted to see what people would do when they heard flawlessly beautiful music coming from just some guy playing in a subway station. It's well documented on videotape. You can see the whole thing if you choose to. At the end of the concert, the violinist packed up, left the subway. The test was over. What the commuters didn't know was that this was one of today's great musicians named Joshua Bell. Josh was playing his violin, which happened to be crafted by Antonio Stradivari in the year 1731, a violin worth $3.5 million. What do you think happened with all those people who walked past him? Well, only seven people stopped what they were doing to listen to the performance for at least 1 minute. 27 people gave money as they hurried past, most running on by, dropped something in the violin case, 27 people. In fact, he said he made $32.17 that morning. That's not bad. It comes out to about $40 an hour. He said he could make a pretty good, well, an okay living on that. Well, that's not too bad until you consider that normally one of Josh's concerts, he makes about $1,000 a minute to play. He was only recognized by one person that stayed longer to listen, and that person left a 20. Ironically, this person had been in one of his concerts the week before and thought that somehow he must have fallen on hard times all of a sudden, and so she left more money. That leaves 1,070 people. What do you think they did? They were only 3 feet away. Most of them never even turned to look at the one playing the violin. A great musician playing great music, and almost no one really heard him. What a thought. What a shame to miss a concert like that, and it was free. All they had to do was just stop, pay attention, listen. But most people didn't take the time to stop. As we open our Bibles, we realize that in the first century AD, there were some conditions that were not really good. We find that people then were either rich or poor. They were either slaves or they were free. They were Jews or they were Gentiles. They were Greeks or they were barbarians. But there were a lot of differences in people back then. Jesus Christ came and brought the good news of salvation, and the good news of salvation, part of what it did was to break down the barriers between all of these groups of people. But you know, it took a while for that truth to sink in to the church of Jesus Christ, into the hearts of believers. In fact, we read Peter had a time wrestling with this in Acts chapter 10, this idea that we're all the same in Christ. Here in the second chapter of James, it's clear that showing partiality in the church was still a problem in that day. There's no question about that. Because of the sin of partiality and the fact that it still rears its ugly head today, and perhaps in our church, if we're not careful. We need to take a few minutes and let's see what God has to say to us here in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. What does he want us to know? But you might be thinking, but isn't everybody partial? And what's wrong with it? After all, those people that didn't even stop to listen to Josh Bell, they didn't hurt anybody. Certainly didn't hurt him. What's the big deal? Why not be partial? Let's see what the scripture has to say. There are many reasons here we want to see why we should not be partial towards people. First slide here is simply this. Why not be a respecter of persons? And let me give you some reasons because why. First, it is a sin that is contrary to Christ and Christianity. Partiality is a very bad sin because it's just the opposite of what Jesus Christ is and what Christianity stands for. Notice here in verse 1, he says this, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In our Harvest Study Bible, it says it this way, "My dear brothers and sisters, you are believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. So don't treat some people better than others." Did you ever stop to think how any of us got saved? Isn't that a remarkable thing that God would stoop down and save any of us? But folks, when we think about our salvation, do you realize that when God saves, he does it impartially? What do you mean? Well, let's think about some things. God saves us without partiality. Peter learned that lesson back in Acts chapter 10. Let me read some verses here. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God accepts anyone who will put their faith and trust in him. A few chapters later, Peter explained to the Jerusalem council this. He said, "And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." God purifies us when we put our faith in him. The apostle Paul understood that it's the same Lord, the same call, the same salvation for everyone. If you would like, Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 says this, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, what's the point here? John chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. You know what they say. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." What's the point? Just simply this. Isn't it amazing that we who are saved impartially by God, God has saved us impartially. But isn't it sad how even though God has saved us impartially, some of us want to be partial towards other people? God says that's wrong. It's sin. Partiality is a sin that's opposite of what Jesus Christ and Christianity stands for. It just doesn't fit with Christianity. You see, the Lord of glory deserves better than we as Christians to be showing partiality towards each other. He says that's wrong. Let me give you a second reason here. In fact, it's found in verses 2 through 4. And that's simply this. It is judging a person by the wrong standards. When I show partiality, it's judging a person by the wrong standards. Look at your Bibles here. Verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith, sit thou here in this good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts? You see, James understood it's possible in his day that people might come to church and might look down on a person if they're poor, or might treat a rich person differently than they would treat a poor person. He understood that that was a possibility there. Now, the problem here is this. It's the exact opposite of the way God sizes us up. When God wants to size up a man, when God wants to measure a man, what does he do? Does he look at his bank account? Does he look what he looks like on the outside? And the answer is, of course not. You see, when God looks at a man, God looks on the heart. This is just exactly the opposite. When we place physical values over spiritual worth, we always come up with the wrong answer. Our tendency is to place the importance on man's appearance, on the outer man. That's our tendency. We tend to look at skin. We tend to look at culture. We tend to look at income. We tend to look at family and social status. In fact, we tend to look at beauty and make a difference in people. Let me remind you of what Paul reminded the Galatians. He said this in chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. To the Colossians, he said it this way, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Folks, Christ has saved us. The result of this kind of narrow-minded partiality is division of the body. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment. You've heard Pastor Heron talk about this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at starting at verse 20 and what the Apostle Paul has to say about this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 20, he says this, but now they are many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Name much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Folks, do you understand that partiality happens when we operate with the wrong standard of judgment? When we start looking at people's outsides instead of the heart.
Thank you for listening to today's message with Pastor Joe Henson, our special guest on today's edition of Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.